Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. I have a return guest today, and she's one of my favorite writers that I get to work with. I just love her books. I love working with her. She's just always very upbeat and fun, and a good writer. That always is the most important thing. But a good personality goes a long way too for me. So I am pleased to welcome Lane Stone back to the show. How you doing, Lane?
I'm great. Thank you. That's very sweet. It means a lot to me.
Well, of course. Brief intro for those who haven't listened hundreds of episodes ago. We're at like 150 now. We've had a lot of episodes. Lane is the author of the Big Picture Trilogy art thrillers, starting with The Collector, followed by The Canvas, and that's the one we're going to talk about today. Her other series were cozies. When she's not writing, she's enjoying characteristic baby boomer pursuits, traveling and volunteering for good causes. Like the Delaware River and Bay Lighthouse Foundation and the American Association of University Women. And she serves on several boards. And I know she likes the beach because she's kind of down there right now. She has a postgraduate certificate in antiquities theft and art crime, and I'm going to ask you about that. And yeah, so your second book, you also blog with Misdemeanors, which is a very, that's been around a long time. Misdemeanors has been around for a while. Yeah, what, like, I know, like, at least 10, 15 years, right? It's been around for a long time.
I'm the new kid on the block, but I'm really enjoying them. It's really some very interesting women, and I love their posts.
Yeah, there's certain ones that you've just like Jungle Reds. There's just been some that have been around because I've been around for like 20 something years and I remember those. All right, so the new book is called The Canvas. Tell us about The Canvas. What's going on with this book?
Well, we learn Emma's very big secret in book one, The Collector, which is her secret life. And but what we learn in book two is who her the identity of her nemesis, or the general identity of her nemesis. And that was fun to write. It was hard, but fun to write. Hope we can talk about that. But somebody is selling forgeries and making just amassing a fortune. And Emma figures out that who it is, and wants to know what they're going to be doing with all that money. It does not end well. But she's closer to her big picture, which means stopping this evil maniac.
Yeah, and it's a trilogy, as we say in the description. So we know there's three. So this is the middle, and it's not a soggy bottom middle. I've been watching a lot of Bake Off, as you can see, as you can tell. It's not a soggy middle. Like, I always equate food to everything. No, so it's hard to talk about your books in particular without. I mean, there's just you don't want to spoil anything, but and they're so twisty and complicated and involved. But they read like a dream because you're like flipping because you can't wait to see what's the next thing's going to happen. So it's really hard to talk about your books without because you don't want to tell the secret because someone might not have read the first one yet. So you can't really talk about that. So weird. So good luck on this interview. Good luck
What could go
not.
wrong?
Yeah, well, good luck not sabotaging your book. Okay. So we will talk about the nemesis. I think that you can fold that into one of my questions here. So my first question is, because related to your bio, you have a postgraduate certificate in antiquity theft and art crime. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Thomas Crown Affair, both of them. I love both versions. I'm just obsessed. I'll just throw that on like when I'm making soup or whatever. What got you interested in this in the first place? Why is this I mean, it's fascinating, and there's through history there's been art theft, and we all know about it, but why is this, why did this appeal to you so much that you actually went to learn enough about it to get a certificate in it?
I'm interested in intersections of things, and just the intersection of art and religion, I think, is very interesting. And I'm interested in antiquities theft and how that relates to colonialism. And then I obviously, I love art, and a lot of us love art without really even knowing why, And then art crime is kind of special because something comes over people sometimes when they are around art. And museums are can be very emotional spaces for some people. And so all of that was fascinating. And when so when I had the opportunity to do this, I jumped at it. And honestly, it was a lot harder than I thought because I've been out of school for so long. And you know, they don't call it postgraduate for nothing. It was hard, but it was fascinating. And I learned a lot, and I'm still learning. So like for instance, the Thomas Crown Affair, like every time I interview a museum security person, they bring that up and they'll say, it's not like that, you know, but it's so beautiful to watch, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine it's not as slick and cool, and who nobody looks as good as Pierce Brosnan. I mean, or Steve
Yeah,
McQueen. I mean,
really.
yeah. I mean, it's like, oh, obviously they'd be caught immediately because they're like, oh, you're the best looking person in 5 miles from here, so I'm gonna watch everything you do.
Anybody wearing a bowler hat today, you know,
Yeah,
he's
you're
pretty
gonna
much
get.
marked, you know.
Yeah, you're standing out. You're too attractive. Yeah, I used to watch Law and Order. I mean, I've watched every single episode my whole life, and I was a young person. And I had the TF rule, too famous. So if it's like, oh, the scullery maid is like, some famous actress, like, someone we've all seen a million times, like, well, then she did it. She's
If
not
the
some
maid
hotel
is
maid.
if the waitress is Julia Roberts, yeah, of course she did it.
Clearly it's Joy Behar, whoever, the person that we've seen. Yeah, that they're not fooling me anymore. Okay, so that's kind of like that. All right, so you're not an artist yourself, correct? Is
Right.
that you're not an
I
artist, you're just
cannot
fascinated
draw a straight line, I swear.
by
You
it.
know? No, I am not a visual artist.
Yeah, I never thought I was. I've gotten more into it recently, just graphic art. But my grandmother was a fine artist. She went to college for art,
Oh,
and
wow.
my stepfather was he went to Pratt Art Institute in New York City, and he was successful. So I was surrounded by art my whole life. So every time we went to a new city, it was like, okay, we're going to the museums and the galleries. That's just what we did. That was the first stop usually whenever we visited places. So I was immersed in it, but I never thought I could be any good at it because that was their thing. But not that I'm as good as they are, but you know what I mean. You just kind of play around with things. But art is very accessible. I think everyone, it's kind of like music, food, and art are the things that no matter what your background or schooling is, you can do it. You can, if you have a passion for it, you can make it happen. It's not like accounting or something else you have to really
You
study.
can share those with other people, you know?
Exactly. And it's all in us. There's a sprout of all those things within us. We just have to either develop it or not. But I always thought that was the coolest thing. Like, it's something you can do with no schooling. You can just be an artist. You can do whatever. So how did you conceive of Emma Kelly? This woman is fascinating, and she does, so she's an art, this is what she does. This is her living, is to track down these things, right? All right, tell us about Emma. How did she pop into your head?
She I knew that was when I decided to not write cozies, I went full out, you know, really, really out. And so I just thought, what if we had a person that absolutely had no rules, had she could care less about society's expectations, and what would that life look like? And would I be brave enough to write that character? And so I'm writing away, and I'm thinking she just doesn't really care what other people think, but that wasn't really enough. And then one day her big secret came to me. But she what she really cares about is justice. And so she has made some, a life choice that I don't know if anyone else would make, but it's to accomplish something really big and to bring justice and balance back into the world.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And you kind of touched on the religion and the art connection that's always been through time, and it's just symbolism, things that we just look at, and that it reminds us of, ourselves or being human beings and things like that. So art is very powerful, and that she's
It is,
immersed herself
and
in it.
even
Yeah.
like if you can't read, then you can, you had these paintings that would tell you stories from the Bible, and so that's one of the ways the church used art.
Yeah. Well, I mean, cavemen were drawing pictures of bison on the cave walls for entertainment, because they weren't writing words yet. It's
Yeah, actually, the
very
first cave
interesting
drawings.
connection. Yeah.
Yeah. The first cave drawings were by women, and they know that now. The cave drawing that is like handprints, you know, they know from the spacing of the fingers that those were women. So I just think that's fascinating. The first artists were women. Cool, right?
That is very cool. Well, of course. Oh, naturally, that has
Yeah.
to be the way. They're probably like trying to figure out something to do with the kids. Just, those are a lot of
On a
hours to
snow
fill
day.
with no devices. All right, let's just do this now so I can get you to shut up for 5 minutes. Okay. I know what your motivations for pursuing this work. So tell us about the nemesis. I want to hear, let's hear the big thing and don't spoil anything. So good luck.
Oh,
Tell
darn.
us about
Yeah.
this evil doer. Let's hear about that.
Well, one thing that, you know, if you read a book and something that the author does just really like makes you mad, you like swear, I'll never do that, you know? And one of the things I do not like is when somebody's really horrible and they kill people and they do this and that. And then in the next book, they're rehabilitated. You know, I can't, I hate that. Anyway, so I was determined not to do that and to just keep making him worse and worse and worse. And I mean, he is a stone cold killer, but even worse than that, he gets other people to do it for him. And he finds people's weak spots and then he gets them to do whatever he wants. So, but I will, this is kind of a spoiler, but he is in the Medici family, and I thought it was interesting that the Medici, there are no heirs. There are descendants, but there are no heirs, and he claims to be an heir. And so you've got the Medici trying to take over the art world, and that's the fun part of writing a thriller, is you really get a very big playground when you write a thriller. So I guess,
Absolutely.
yeah.
You're
So
not in
I
those
just kept
confines.
wanting, yeah, I want to make him be, I wanted to make him worse and worse and worse. I did not want to back off on that or take my foot off the pedal on that at all. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because you're in the con when you're writing traditional or cozy, you're in those confines of like, it's a structure. You have to stay in. And thrillers didn't be like, okay, well, now they're racing down the Seine or whatever. Now they can do
Yeah.
that. Cool. Yeah, well, you explain you're walking the landmine. You're not spoiling anything. You're doing a really good job.
Thank
So I wanted to ask, so we that kind of leads me into a structure. We talk about craft on the show and structures things. So you set out as this to be a trilogy. So why did you make that choice? Did you and then kind of I think you were leading into that from that last question. It's like you're
Yeah.
ramping up, you're building, but so why a trilogy? Why not have Emma go off and or maybe she will. Maybe she'll go off and call back from forever. Tell us about that.
Well, I think her very big secret, and you can only get away with that for so long, you know, this second life that she leads. So I wanted to be aware of that for the reader, and I just felt like it would be a better experience for the reader if I had a sharp incline and then solved things or not. You know, there I won't tell you if they're going to be solved or not, but anyway, but
Gotcha.
I wanted it to be a steep route into the story.
Yeah, and it's as a writer, it's that's you have a game, you have a playing ground. So the football field size, how far you should be running to this plot point. And when you're doing a trilogy, it's not like a series of 25 books or whatever, and it's like, oh, guess they got over that and now they are all friends again. So that would be, you might want to extend it down the road. You never know. You might be like years later, everyone's living, everyone's doing a different version of that life. It'll be really interesting to see where you go with it. All right. So you said this will be the fifth question. You said that you said this was hard. You've mentioned hard a couple times. What were some challenges you faced while writing this particular book?
Am I allowed to talk about somebody being kidnapped? Am I allowed to talk about that? Is that too much of a spoiler?
No,
I'm not.
I mean, I think you're
Okay.
fine. Yeah.
Well, I researched that, and I just found myself, really going into a dark place when I wrote that, because we do kind of go into our character's world when we're writing, so that was hard. And I wanted it to. I wanted it to be scary and you didn't know what was going, what was going to happen. So that was hard. I think that was hard. And just right, I mean, Emma is so courageous. She really, really is. And she has her weaknesses, sure, but just writing someone that courageous, somebody that never turns her back on the battle. I mean, she's just that courageous because of this justice that she wants.
You've done a really good job with his character because she's very, she's not an unlikable female protagonist. She's not, and that she could be. I mean, you could have painted it in that direction because she does some stuff, and you're like, "What are you doing?" But it's not. She's not unlikable, and there's a softness to her. While she's a badass, there's also a softness to her. So what I was saying is, what I feel as your editor and as a fan of the books, she's a very well-developed character, and that's a very deftly handled. Because it could be. She's not a caricature. She's very well developed. So I think you've done a really good job there.
Thank you.
Yes, and everyone needs to get the book and find out for themselves what her big
Yeah.
secret is, and about how Lane can make someone likable, even though they're doing unlikable things sometimes, but not really. But she's just out there trying to. She's a badass. She's out there trying to get this stuff solved, and you can't always be the nice one. You have to do different things. Anyway, so that's very good. You did great on the questions. So what is going on? What is going on with you? Are you on tour? Where are you going to be? Where can people find the books? What's happening?
I am with a group called Curators of Crime, and it's mostly Lovell Best authors. It's M.A. Monin, Nina Waxman, and Connie Berry, and myself. And we do events, but we also have a great Facebook page where we write about art crime, antiquities theft, that kind of thing. And a website. So I spent a lot of time on that. I'm of course working on book three. I'm excited with about the way that's coming about too.
Good. Well, you got to stick the landing. So you got to work on that one.
Yeah,
You can't mess that one up because that's
yeah,
the
really.
finale. It's the finale. So I think you're going to be fine. But well, thanks for coming back on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for spending this chilly. It's so cold. Spending this chilly day with that. We're from the South. We're from Maryland. She and I. So we're not used to this like frigid air.
Yeah, this hit us hard. I mean, there was no like working up to this amount of cold. It was just 60 degrees one day and then 30 the next.
Yeah, I woke up this morning. My phone's like, it's 21 degrees. I'm like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Like, I don't think that's correct. I was just out walking. I walked 3.5 miles yesterday outside. Yeah, I didn't go out at all today. I was just like bundled up and no, thank you. Well, it was lovely, 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 lovely once again. And good luck with everything. We wish you all the best and we hope you come back next book.
Oh, I sure will. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.